Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Located on the edges of your radio static, you've stumbled upon the Lost Signal, your podcast destination for tales of horror and the macabre, brought to life with voice acting and sound effects. New episodes are released every 2 weeks on Monday on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Join us, won't you?
If you Google ghost hunting goggles, you get 2,460,000 results, ranging from sites claiming that the goggles give the wearer psychic powers, random ads selling ghost hunting equipment, and even an Amazon link to generic, budget-friendly ghost hunting aura glasses. To experienced ghost hunters who have had these glasses in their arsenal, they're known as Dasein goggles, and they allow the wearer to see the auras of any spirits in their immediate vicinity. At least, that's what they claim to do. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Identity Podcast on the Podmoth Media Network, your foray into the weird, wonky, and sometimes downright spooky. This week, we dig into the origins of one of the more interesting pieces of ghost hunting equipment and ghost hunting history. So put on your shades, squint into the darkness with me, and keep your eyes peeled for spectral anomalies. Some people see the world through rose-colored glasses, but a man named Kilner decided that tinted lenses can do more than raise a perspective to a positive, albeit potentially unrealistic, light. Walter John Kilner, 1847 to 1920, was educated at Bury St. Edmunds Grammar School and Cambridge University, and he was a medical student at St. Thomas's Hospital in London. In June of 1879, he took charge of electrotherapy, and he was also in private medical practice in Ladbroke Grove, London. In 1883, he became a member of the Royal College of Physicians, a British professional membership body dedicated to improving the practice of medicine, chiefly through the accreditation of physicians by examination. Founded by royal charter from King Henry VIII in 1518, a man infamous for not only his appetite at the dinner table, but also in the boudoir, it's the oldest medical college in England. Kilner was also apparently keen on the game of chess. Now, before we go any further, let's get a clearer idea of what an aura actually is, and also the different classifications. Throughout history, psychics have seen auras around people. For example, the aura depicted around religious figures as a halo. Think back to a time when you thought that the coating on your eyeglasses was bullshit, and you opted out, and then you took a walk in bright sunlight, or you drove at night in the rain wearing your new prescription. Saw some halos, didn't you? The aura is basically understood to be the life force of a person ebbing and flowing around or at specific points in their body. In Hindu teachings, these are called chakras. It's said by some psychics that a person's state, either emotional, mental, or spiritual, can be ascertained by viewing their aura. From the Australian Institute of Parapsychological Research, information sheet titled The Human Aura, quote, most modern commentary can be traced back to the theosophist C.W. Leadbeater and London physician Walter Kilner. They recognize three layers of the aura in order outwards from the body. Etheric double, a narrow dark space near the body. Inner aura or astral body, brightly colored of fixed width. Outer aura, mental body, less bright and of variable width. Auras around the human body can be of three types. 1. Physical auras, several energy and matter fields that consistently surround the body. They can be instrumentally detected, for example, thermal or inflamed, radiated from the body which is hotter than the surrounding air, electromagnetic, alpha and other brain waves and waves generated by muscle action, ionizing radiation, the high-voltage corona discharge aura, electrostatic sweating, or water vapor, and organic molecules. 2. Psychological aura. The personal space around a person, that is, the closest distance an observer can approach without that person feeling uncomfortable. And 3. Projected aura. An aura perceived about a target person, but only existing within the observer's mind. Common types are after images, the result of the constant motion of our eyes as we stare at a target body for a long time. Contrast effects, the apparently brighter zone immediately surrounding the body, produced where the background color is brighter than or complementary to that of the person viewed. Imaginary effects, unconscious dramatization, where the observer so strongly expects to see an aura. For example, because of strong needs or spiritual beliefs, he or she indeed sees one. And physical effects, produced only under special conditions. For example, reflection or refraction, effects from the moisture in the air or in the lens of the eye, end quote. Between 1908 and 1910, Kilner trained his eyes to see auras without the use of goggles, but he would also study human subjects through a lens containing dicyanin dye. And when he did so, he recorded that he could see a haze that was grayish blue in color. He believed that the radiant energy he saw was UV radiation leaving the body. His experiments with UV photography said otherwise, but he believed it nonetheless. Kilner observed auras through many different colored lenses, and even thought that his ability to see the aura enabled him to diagnose disease. However, tests on the lenses prove that they cut out almost all light except for the double image of the red and blue end of the color spectrum. There was also no such thing as a double-blind study when it came to Kilner and his research, meaning that his beliefs greatly influenced his findings. Quote, in the early 1900s, there was much talk of newly discovered rays, X-ray, radio waves, radioactivity, N-rays, Odic or Reichenbach forces. Theosophy and spiritualism were popular. Kilner was thus predisposed to discover new rays. A third flaw was that Kilner did not first eliminate the possibility of projected auras. Indeed, these three facts point to projected auras as the correct explanation. Kilner also claimed, by similar means, to see magnetic, electric, and radioactivity fields, as well as the non-existent N-rays, end quote. According to the many listings for the goggles online, everyone is able to see auras naturally, but it takes time and intense training to do so. Many apparently just don't have the staying power to learn to establish these skills. that's where the goggles step in, as kind of a spectral set of training wheels to help bridge that learning gap. Even experienced psychics, ones with years of experience reading auras, generally disagree about which colors are present in a person's aura. Modern lenses are created using photothermal dye, much easier to maintain than dicyanin, given some legal roadblocks. You see, dicyanin is a poison, and not easily obtained. I'll address some of the conspiracies surrounding the dye next. The photothermal dye is used as a stand-in and helps to intensify and highlight energy fields that we can't see with the naked eye. Dicyanin also fades with age, so the old models of Kilner's invention are of little use today. I think it's also important to note that Kilner was not the only person spending time investigating this phenomena. In the 19th century, Carl von Reichenbach spent years trying to prove the existence of the aura, and was ridiculed by his colleagues for doing so. Kilner used Reichenbach's research as a guide in developing his own theories. Kilner's research was furthered by many, including Oscar Bagnall, a British pioneer of aura research. And now for a little conspiracy. And please take what I'm going to say with a gigantic grain of salt. According to conspiracy theorists, it's illegal and very difficult to purchase dicyanin dye. The reason being is that the dye allows people to see the auras of individuals and to see into the astral realm. Using the dye would essentially prove that another plane of reality exists, and, well, you get the picture. Way back when, researchers would use the dye and purchase it easily, but the government banned the dye in or around the 1940s. It was made available for purchase again in 2010, but then quickly banned. A government chemist was asked just how classified the use of the dye was, and responded that he could use his security clearance to purchase other things like LSD or cocaine, but it wasn't high enough to purchase dicyanin dye. The company that creates the dye assigns a special code that not every government agent has access to. Meaning, no code, no dye. The truth is, dicyanin dye is a synthetic organic compound, bright blue in color, that has been used for decades to dye fabric. It's incredibly toxic if ingested, so it doesn't surprise me in the slightest that it isn't super easy to obtain. Dicyanin has been used in a variety of applications, including as a dye for textiles and inks, and as a colorant for food and beverages. It's also been investigated for its potential health benefits, and some studies have suggested that it may have antioxidant or anti-inflammatory properties. Additionally, dicyanin has been used in scientific research to study the visual system and develop new technologies for detecting and measuring light. So, does this dye have the ability to show us another spectral realm? I think you can kind of tell where I hang my hat on this one. The dye is said to make light waves beyond the human eye capability visible. This can only be done by changing the wavelength, something that other dyes will also do, and is known as fluorescence. Such a material absorbs invisible light, uses some of its energy, and then remits it in a visible range. It can be used to dye jackets that will stand out clearly in poor light and make safety workers and traffic controllers more obvious from the background. It's useful, just not in the way that Kilner and those who came before and after him describe. Unfortunately, we'll have to find other ways to peer into other realms. All of that said, I will drop a link to a scanned copy of Kilner's book, The Human Atmosphere or the Aura Made Visible by the Aid of Chemical Screens. It's a fascinating read. That's it for this week, dear listeners. Tune in next time for more tales of the creepy, weird, and paranormal. Until then, stay spooky. The Identity Podcast is brought to you by host Janine Mercer, and the music was created using GarageBand. Find The Odd Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Identity Pod, and on Facebook as The Identity Podcast. A transcript of this episode will be available at theidentitypodcast.wordpress.com. Got a paranormal experience to share? Send those along to theidentitypodcast@gmail.com. If you liked what you heard, please take a moment to mash that subscribe button and leave me a 5-star review. And don't forget to tell your friends, family, and coworkers about this podcast. Every little bit helps.